The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, January 12th. What a busy hour we have for you today on our Friday edition of the program. A quick shout out to our media partners. We do that on Friday, and I want to do it because these people are good to us. TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Media Group. That envelope includes the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, Desert News, other media people involved, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the blog The Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, the Arizona Senate President, Steve Yarborough, Republican from Chandler. Joining me in the discussion with Senate President Yarborough is Tim Stellers. Tim is a columnist for the Arizona Daily Star and will be joined very shortly by Dylan Smith, who is editor-publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. But let's go now to the Valley of the Sun, and Steve Yarborough, Senate President. Senator, how are you today?
Doing well. Nice to be on your show. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. The budget, apparently, was it released this morning?
No, it's coming this afternoon. And so momentarily, I think the governor's staff plan to brief the minority leadership, and then I think that's coming, the detail, at, I think, 2 o'clock is what we were told.
Will this be the largest budget spending picture in Arizona history?
Well, I don't know, but it'll be awfully close to that. Probably it will, and it will be a very, very interesting budget proposal by the governor.
Will there be enough money or more money for education this time around?
There will be extraordinarily increased funding for K-12 public education. That's really what this is all about. The governor is so focused and so passionate about seeing that accomplished, and I think we will see this afternoon some real significant, I want to say pleasant, surprises as to how aggressive the governor is being in trying to increase what we spend on K-12 public education.
All right, Senator, I want to bring in our guest reporters, two very prominent news people here in the Tucson area. Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Go ahead, Tim.
Hello, Senator Yarborough. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
Good. Hey, I heard that recently you expressed support for capping the corporate school tuition tax credit. Is that the case?
I am working diligently on a piece of legislation that I will drop hopefully fairly soon that will ultimately, over a few years, lead to a significant reduction in the cap that is in place on the corporate scholarship tax credit. The cap is there, but it has an escalator that I'm looking to significantly change.
Okay, so just for our listeners, this is a tax credit that corporations can take advantage of for donations to tuition organizations such as the one that you used to work for or still work for, correct?
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. So what's the cap at now?
The cap is about $74 million, and it has an escalator of 20% per year, and it is that escalator that I will be focusing primarily on, although I do intend to include some other mostly technical provisions, hopefully that will improve the operation of that tax credit.
So I'm sorry, are you saying that the cap would decrease under your proposal, or that it would stay where it is?
The escalator, the 20% annual increase would become a smaller number. So that the growth in the cap, there still will be growth, but it will be significantly more modest.
Okay. So one thing that you've taken a lot of heat for down through the years from a lot of outlets, myself included, the New York Times even last year did a piece called Arizona Shows What Can Go Wrong with Tax Credit Vouchers. I mean, long story short, this is a program that you've supported, but that has also literally put money in your pocket over the years, hundreds of thousands of dollars, they said. So I've always been confused. How is that appropriate that you would vote for a program that literally puts money in your pocket?
Well, over the years, those issues arose, no doubt about it. Before I was ever elected to the legislature, I was serving as the executive director of one of what are now over 60 STOs. And I worked for one of them, and over the years we had legislation that affected the operation of STOs, and I would repeatedly go to the rules attorney and ask whether the particular legislation that was being considered at those times back in the past represented a conflict of interest, and was consistently indicated and was given a written opinion that I shared with anybody who was interested that indicated that under Arizona law and Senate or House rules, I did the same thing back in the House, there was not a conflict of interest. So that was done. We have folks who are teachers. We have folks who are charter school operators. We have folks who contract with DES, all of them in jobs that they have, and those do not represent conflicts under our law.
Hmm. Here's Dylan Smith, Senator. Dylan is the editor-publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Go ahead, Dylan.
Senator, to stick for a moment longer on this tax credit question, with that 20% increase every year through the magic of compounding, that would pretty soon get to where it would be consuming the entire state's education budget of Arizona and even beyond that. What sort of increase are you thinking of? How rapidly do you think this should be growing?
Right. Well, it would never actually impact the education budget directly. What it potentially would impact is the corporate income tax that corporations owe if they somehow wanted to donate all of their income tax liability for this purpose. So that's what it would do. Now, as far as how quickly we get there, I envision this happening over a few years, maybe two or three. And I envision at the end of the process, the escalator would be something in the neighborhood of the cost of living, the CPI, something like that. So we're talking about a very dramatic reduction in the escalator. Governor Napolitano and I originally back in 2006 agreed to that particular escalator, and we're at a point in time where I simply think it needs to be revisited.
Why do we keep having laws passed in the Arizona State Legislature that, from all of us on the outside, seem not very well thought out, like this with this huge increase that snowballs, looking back a ways, the alt fuels scandal that, turned into just a complete mess. Why do you guys keep doing this?
Well, I can't speak to those things. I can tell you that this particular credit has been budget positive for the state because it has resulted in a substantial number of students leaving the public schools and going to private schools at a substantially lesser cost to taxpayers when you look at these credits. But that being nevertheless the case, I'm of the opinion that we've basically gotten the credit into a range that Governor Napolitano and I believed would have ultimately be possible, and I think I'm keeping faith with what she and I were agreeing to back in 2006 by coming forward and saying, I think we need to reduce the growth rate of the escalator.
And for the record, you are no longer the executive director of the Arizona Christian School Tuition Organization, is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So when did you resign from that position?
My service to that charitable organization ended on December 31st.
All right. We'll take our break right here. Senator, can you stick around for another segment? All right,
sure.
Great. We'll talk some more about this budget that's going to be released here in about an hour. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Tim Steller is here, and we have Senator Yarborough, the Senate President, on the line. But first, we hear from the Buckmaster Show, fine lineup of people who make this program possible. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off. The commentators will be Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen, plus the monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We do it during the noon hour on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. Buckmaster also heard with worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. My name is Bill Buckmaster. I'm the host of the program. We're on AM 1030 KVOI. If you have one of those devices where you just say, tune to, you know, little robotic devices, just say KVOI AM 1030, and there you go. So,
robot. It's like magic.
Yeah, it is. State Senator Steve Yarborough, he is the Senate President, is with us on the Buckmaster Show, a live line from his home in Chandler. Let's go back now to what we began with, Senator, about the budget, which is coming out in about an hour and a half. You'll be seeing your copy from the governor. You said that there will be a lot more money, basically, for education. Where is that money going to come from?
It's a great question. It's coming from several places. Some of it will be coming from the modest amount of increased revenue that the state is experiencing. So that's the first source. The second source, I'm told by the governor's staff, is going to come substantially from agency budget savings. You've all probably heard, I mean, the governor instructed his agencies to go to great lengths to find savings that could be implemented so that those dollars could be moved over to K-12 public education. I think we're going to see a surprisingly substantial number coming from that source. Then there is a proposal that effectively $88 million to be used for new school construction would come as the result of bonding as opposed to paying cash. And that particular one may present some what shall I say, with my colleagues, some marketing challenges, because I have a number of members who actually feel fairly strongly that we should continue, as we have the last 2 years, paying cash for those new schools. The governor's proposal is going to suggest that we bond for that, consequently saving that cash and being able to move it over to K-12 public education for other purposes and still do all of the new school construction from the bonding.
Senator Yarborough, Tim Steller here.
Yes, sir.
I've been concerned the last couple of years watching what seems to be efforts to not inadequate efforts to collect all the revenue that the state could. I'm especially speaking here of the Department of Revenue and its corporate auditing decreases in revenues from corporate audits, but which, as I recall, the number was in the high tens of millions, like $80 million decrease. You may know that number better than I am. But also your colleague, Senator Farley, who's from here and who's running for governor, has talked for years about different exemptions to the state sales tax. At times it feels to me like there's just not a real effort to collect everything that we should and to really apply the law fairly. How do you respond to that?
Well, I respond to that. DOR offers their defense of their audit approach. However, now I'm on the edge here and I'm trying to remember what is embargoed for the next hour and what is not. But I guess I'll err on the side of transparency and simply indicate that I believe this budget proposal is going to include significant additional investment in auditors, and that will be designed to generate additional revenue. So I'll go that far, and hope I haven't crossed the edge sounds, there.
I don't think you've gone very far.
Just keep it secret for an hour.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just between us four.
Nobody's listening.
So what about the...
I bet they are.
What about Steve Farley's kind of constant refrain of close the sales tax loopholes? You've heard him talk about it for years.
I've served with Steve on the House Ways and Means and then Senate Finance that I chaired for many years since then. And he is a very good friend of mine. And he is so full of baloney about so much of this stuff. I mean, he calls things loopholes that are, to me, a loophole is something where you messed up, you didn't intend to do something, and you created an outcome that was different. Well, these are not loopholes. When we say that we are not going to apply TPT or sales tax to food at the state level, or to your doctor bills, or to your legal bill or your accountant's bill, those are not loopholes. Those are conscious decisions that have been made by the people's representatives to say, we don't think you ought to put a state sales tax on food, okay? And Steve always gets to the point where he picks out a few things, and without explanation, they do sound outrageous to most of us. But he's not talking about things where the real money is. And like I say, okay, Steve, propose a sales tax on food. We'll have that discussion, and propose one on your doctor bill, and we'll have that discussion, see if you really do want to apply sales tax to those items.
Yeah, I take your point on that. The big items like food are the ones that could produce a ton of money, but nobody wants that. Yeah. However, there are quite a few exemptions that are pretty narrowly tailored. I recall one, was it last year, that was being proposed related to the sale of private jets. I don't know. There's a whole slew of them, and it seems like people come to you with these proposals every year for an exemption.
I'm aware of one right now. I saw that the bill crossed my desk yesterday, and I've assigned it to a committee. And it is a bill that would put an exemption on the sales tax for batteries that are part of your cochlear ear implant device. We have an exemption for medical devices in the state. Somehow those batteries are not included according to DOR. This bill would include them. I think that bill probably makes it.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
How about justice reform? I know that Representative Engel from Tucson here has been pushing very strong for criminal justice reform in Arizona. Is that on the agenda this session?
It's going to probably be a topic of some conversation. The governor is certainly pressing very aggressively to do a variety of things designed to decrease recidivism in the state, particularly dealing with trying to find jobs and other things for people who have completed their obligation to the people as a result of their criminal activity. So he is really working hard. There's going to be some additional money there. Now, your point about, I think we're talking about, are we going to reform perhaps the front end, the sentencing side, as opposed to what we do with folks on the back side? I think it's the court has been proposing some things. We did adopt some stuff last year. I think there will be further discussion. I don't think you're going to see, however, a major reform in our current sentencing scheme. I think that's probably, if and when that occurs, it's going to involve a lot of work and probably some off-session, committees trying to figure out this. It's very complicated when you start dealing with the sentencing side.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It does take a lot of work. But, Senator, it's been years and years we've had an 85% minimum for all felony sentences, for example. Just to clarify for the listeners, a convicted felon must serve 85% minimum of their imposed sentence in prison. And that's something that came up in the 90s, but it's gone away even in states as notoriously backward, so to speak, as Mississippi and Louisiana. So I don't understand why we haven't been working on that. It's been an issue for years as the prison population soared in Arizona, although that's leveled off now.
Right. And you are quite correct. And I cannot tell you why no one has really decided to tackle sentencing. I did have a couple of colleagues that made some effort previously when I served in the House. Representative Ash, I recall, specifically tried that. Frankly, it just didn't move and it didn't happen. But maybe we are approaching the time when that is indeed going to be revisited, and we may very well take a look at that. Right now, the focus is indeed on the backside, but you are quite correct. If you do something on the front side, then you're gonna do a lot with prison population. We are indeed blessed with the second straight year where we're not looking at adding any prison beds. The governor actually said something that we've heard before, that much better to educate than to incarcerate, and that's I think that's on the horizon.
All right, Senator Yarborough, thank you very much for spending part of your noon hour with us. We appreciate it. And hope you have a nice weekend, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Senator Steve Yarborough, he is the president of the Arizona Senate. And coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, we have Dylan Smith and we have Tim Steller, and we're going to talk about what's been going on. There's no shortage of political news this week. I think we could probably fill a couple of hours, but we have at least 12 minutes on the roundtable next after this. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com.
Do you love a great deal? Do you love animals? Then you need to shop at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's thrift store. Located at 5311 East Speedway, the HSSA thrift store has something for everyone, like new furniture provided by the wonderful team at Sam Levitt's, clothing, housewares, vintage items, and of course, pet supplies. Hurry into the HSSA thrift store at 5311 East Speedway and see what surprises are waiting for you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Bon Voyage Travel's 2018 Travel Showcase is back. With over 30 travel companies to share their knowledge and a room full of travel professionals, you can't go wrong. Planning the perfect vacation takes time and involves quite a bit of research. Bon Voyage Travel is here to simplify the process and ensure you always receive the best value. Join us February 3rd at La Paloma from noon to 4 p.m. There'll be presentations, exclusive offers, prizes, and a show floor giving you the opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation with us. Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday roundtable today features Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Dylan Smith, the editor, publisher, founder of TucsonSentinel.com. And Dylan was a few minutes late arriving at the studio today because he was putting the finishing touches on his piece that's now up at TucsonSentinel.com on, what was it? The best kept secret? I mean, come on.
Worst kept secret.
Yeah. We had a story posted around 6:30 this morning Martha McSally finally making her announcement. She put out a campaign video in the middle of the night, I guess around 3 a.m. I think they finally put that thing up. And so we got that story out. But then she, in person, she held an event. She's holding a series of events around the state today. At an airplane hangar down at Tucson International Airport. And then she's making a quick stop in Phoenix and then on to Prescott on the steps of the historic courthouse there, where each time she's announcing her campaign for U.S. Senate.
And what were your impressions? Because you were there, Dylan, and so was Tim. Tim, what did you think?
She's presenting herself as a kind of a tough-talking ex-fighter pilot.
She was wearing a jumpsuit.
She's wearing a blue jumpsuit, and she says in her ad, the video that Dylan mentioned earlier, and also she says in her speeches that she kind of makes joking references to her kind of own coarse language or something. She's notorious for having said, "Let's get this effing thing done," about the healthcare reform. This is like 6 to 8 months ago. So, I mean, she's trying to turn that into a kind of Trump-style benefit, as opposed to harm.
She's very much pivoting from where she was last year, or actually 2016, during the election, when she refused to endorse Trump and really tried everything she could do to not talk about him, to basically not acknowledge the existence of his presidential campaign. Oh, yeah. Now she's very much trying to tie herself closely with the president, mainly to do with the politics of a Republican primary in this state. But there are already two candidates running who have worked long and hard to associate themselves very closely with Trump. So if that's her strategy, she's got some ground to make up.
Breaking news from one of our contributors here on the Friday Roundtable, Joe Ferguson, who covers, works with you, Tim, at the Arizona Daily Star. Joe covers politics. Joe just sent me a message. This is breaking. Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller has just called to tell Joe that she is not running for Congressional District 2 and will stay on the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Yeah. I think that was fairly expected. I don't know that Allie Miller has built the sort of political base across the district, down into Douglas, that it would take to run for Congress.
No, she wouldn't have won. Absolutely. There was never anything rational about it in that sense.
She'd have to leave a great paying job.
She would have had to leave a good paying job. But, she also has become an extremely strong pro-Trump person. And the main candidate now, Leah Marquez Peterson, certainly is not. She was lukewarm on Trump as recently as 6 months ago when I talked to Leah. I did a little interview with her and her brother Edmund about their differences with their parents over politics, and
So who fits the bill then in CD2
right,
in the primary against Leah from the Trump camp, so to speak, or the Trumper?
We'll have to see. The district itself is not even lukewarm. It's pretty tepid towards Trump. He lost in CD2.
Yeah, it was, a 5-point loss or a 5-point victory for Clinton, 5-point loss for Trump in that district. Yep.
So getting back to the McSally race, we've got Sheriff Joe involved. So we've got a 3-way primary. The conventional thinking is that Sheriff Joe takes away some of actually splits the Kelly Ward faction. Is that, do you guys go along with that?
I buy that. Yeah, I think that's more or less likely, although you never know what's going to happen with Sheriff Joe. Is he still in the race in 2 months? We don't know. Is this just a lark or is he serious about it?
He's quite often before promised, threatened to run for governor, run for Senate, run for
and not taken out the paperwork.
And not done anything but, trying to pad his campaign fund.
I wonder if he's even taken out the paperwork to run for Senate.
As I understand it, he hasn't.
Yeah, he's taking those initial first steps, but he still has to go, get signatures on petitions and file those to earn that spot on the ballot. It's not too tough to do. So if he's interested in, taking this through the August primary, he could certainly manage to do that.
Doug Martin is the co-owner, along with his lovely wife, Mary, of this radio station and the locally owned group of stations here. And Doug is on the live line. Doug was at the event, the Martha McSally event today over at the Tucson Airport. Doug, hey.
Good morning. I do want to comment on that. I agree with Tim and Dylan that she's going to have to navigate some tough things to get through the primary, but did want to comment because as someone that served in the military and I went to military school and I've been around that culture, a woman in the military's got a pretty tough way to go. And the fact is, it is a pretty, the kind of language you hear in the military is not what you hear probably on the street and certainly not in politics today. And she's, she's a woman that has stood toe-to-toe and done what she's needed to do to work her way up and become the first fighter pilot, the first woman to command a squadron. So I give her a lot of credit for that. And also, she had told me one time that she had stood toe-to-toe with Trump and said things she said that I would not probably approve of. So she's somebody that stands up to Trump. And I think he actually, the kind of guy he is, he kind of likes that. He seems to kind of thrive on people not liking him or saying things to him and doesn't seem to let it bother him too much. But in order to win the Republican primary, she's going to have that support. So it's a very difficult thing for someone like her that I think maybe doesn't approve of everything that he does or says, but needs to work with him to win the primary.
Doug, your comments about language and what Bill brought up really touches on the issue of the president's words yesterday about immigrants from certain countries. And I'll respect your airwaves, even though a number of networks are using the phrase in full. But referring to people coming from S-hole countries, and Martha McSally was asked about that this morning and declined the opportunity to condemn that sort of remark and really was supportive of the idea that we should not allow people into this country who are from impoverished nations. She said we need to look for people who can benefit us economically. And, you guys know me. I would certainly not ever condemn somebody for using coarse language per se. I do that fairly consistently. It's amazing. I've never been kicked off this radio station for making a slip, actually.
Oh, thank goodness.
But you have to get down to the meaning of the words and, right. And what not that he, used a certain word, but what he meant by that. And McSally was not willing, not interested in saying that was a wrong thing to say. She was actually rather supportive of it. She said, that she uses salty language behind closed doors.
Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was just going to say about the language thing. I think we've reached a point where we, we no longer are willing to, like, confront people personally about things. We're going to always use gotcha tactics, and this is what happens politically all the time. I think what would be appropriate, like, if, you know, if I was talking to you, Dylan, you said something that offended me, instead of me saying, well, hey, here's what Dylan said, and I put it on Facebook and tell all my friends. If I just said, you know, Dylan, I really don't like what you said there. I didn't like that word, and I'd appreciate it if you don't use it around me. I mean, we've kind of lost that tactic, that, you know, technique, and now everything somebody says is going to get thrown out there immediately without us confronting people about their bad behavior, which, you know, the president, you know, this is one of many things. The guy is continually doing things that are insulting, rude, coarse, etc.
You made a pretty strong statement about that a few months back yourself.
Yeah. I mean, he, that's just who he is. But, you know, the fact is, you know, we don't confront people. We just immediately put it out, you know, and that destroys our ability to work together. I think politically, if these two parties, the Republican Democrats, could have gotten together on this immigration reform bill, and instead of, you know, using techniques to attack each other, we'd be much better off. I think we need to have immigration reform, and we're not going to get it done if we're looking for ways to just undercut each other.
Here's Tim.
So I was going to segue to another thing that's very closely related to this that you wanted to talk about, which is the controversy surrounding Representative Klobuchar.
Right. So we'll let Doug go then, because we're going to switch topics.
Thank you, Doug.
Doug, thanks for joining us. Okay, go ahead, Tim.
So that's exactly the kind of argument that Todd Klobuchar, state representative from LD-10, east side of Tucson, was making. This week, during, ironically, a session on harassment and ethics, a mandatory session on the House floor, a new legislator, Representative Geraldine Peaton from Goodyear, I believe, who is one of two African-Americans, took some umbrage at seeing on Representative Klobuchar's personal laptop a big kind of artistic Confederate battle flag as his desktop image. It was, you know, took up the whole computer. And she, if I'm not mistaken, she first said something publicly about it and only later talked to Klobuchar, which he took some offense at. But they agreed to disagree about the meaning of the Confederate flag, and he agreed not to be showing it anymore. What I found a little more fascinating was the fact that Klobuchar, who represents a Democrat dominated district, would be going that way. I don't think there's... You know, there's certainly some people who might sympathize with the Confederacy and LD-10, but the Democrats...
That's not really a winning message.
That's not a winning message. They will clobber him with that.
And he said, all of my family and ancestry is from the South.
Yeah, he said that. I mean, whatever. He also told me that he views it as a symbol of fighting against tyranny and that sort of thing. And, you know... I didn't get into the whole debate about how, you know, to what extent slavery was the cause of the Civil War, which I think it essentially was, however you want to dress it up. But I'm kind of baffled by it. He already had a hard reelection race, and not that he was even thinking about it, but this makes it extremely difficult. Democrats will, I would think, say rightfully, put that all over him.
And in this instance, do you think it was a problem, a poor move for her to make a public statement? He's on the floor of the state legislature while during a session, doing the people's business, showing off a Confederate flag. He's in public. He's making a public statement, right?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting, I don't know. I'm not
it's
sure
not
what
like
the
it's,
right
it's
thing
not like,
is.
You know, it's sitting on his desk at home.
Well, it also depends a lot on how big a symbol or how bad a symbol you consider the Confederate flag to be. I mean, if you saw a swastika there, would this be something where you kind of gently take the person aside, or would you say, get this bastard out of here, or something, you know? So Klobuchar wished that she had talked to him individually before taking it public. But
I don't know. Well, I guess
what,
maybe
would he have said? Oh, okay. I'll never
maybe.
Use it again.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they probably would have debated the meaning of the Confederacy a bit or something. I don't know. I could see him going either way. I think either way is okay.
And Tom Fairbanks, our fine producer engineer, pointing out that the Confederate flag back in the '60s was used on a lot of album covers, wasn't it, Tom? Yeah. Am I thinking
album covers?
Seat
covers, tattoos, little flags on the back of the Chevy Impala they were driving.
Yeah. 38 Special, I believe.
Times change. I would hope that as we move forward as a country, we're actually learning and growing as individual people and learning how to be better people.
All right. Only got about 35. Well, we've got about a minute. I was caught by surprise on Tucson and Kelly Fryer, local YWCA head, announcing she's going to be challenging Steve Farley and ASU education professor David Garcia. So we've got a three-way race for governor.
Yeah, maybe, sort
in the primary.
In the
anyway.
Democratic primary. Yeah.
Democrat primary.
That's going to be tough. I mean, you don't really think of the governorship as being a down ballot race, but in this year, there's going to be so much going on, and we still have the unfortunate possibility of having another Senate race potentially coming up at the end of the year. And there will be so much happening that trying to get money and attention, even down at the level of the governor, much less on legislative races and the Corporation Commission and everything else, will be tough.
Yeah, good point.
Hey, I mean, anyone can run for governor, but I don't know. I don't quite see the point of it yet.
All right, well, we'll talk to Kelly Fryer. I believe she's booked for this program on Tuesday, so we'll talk to her next week.
It is the year of Me Too, so having more women having their voices heard, that's an important thing.
It is. The Buckmaster Show, we've got Weekend Watch coming up. Dan Gibson will be ably filling in for Matt Russell. And Dylan, thanks for coming in. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It very much. We'll look for your work, TucsonSentinel.com. And Tim, your column Sunday, would you not like to reveal what it is?
I would be happy to if I knew what it was.
Oh, okay. Well, that will be crafted over at Rincon Market over a cup of coffee and a burger perhaps this afternoon.
Yeah, maybe beer.
All right. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Oh, I am in the mood to hear that music. I'll tell you, it's been a long week, and when I hear it, I feel so much better because I know the weekend is here. Weekend Watch on Buckmaster is presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, wanting the Tucson listeners to know there's a nice place just 3 hours east of here, about 3 hours, and it's a totally different environment. Historic Silver City, lovely place to do some hiking this time of year, some winter hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete list of the many very fine places to stay and some great recreation opportunity ideas for you at southwestnewmexico.org. Our normal host of Weekend Watch is Mr. Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly, but Matt is off today, so we call upon pinch hitter Mr. Dan Gibson. Hello, Dan.
Hello, how are you?
Doing very well, and you're going to take off your Visit Tucson hat and put on your Weekend Watch hat with some great tips for our listeners. What's going on?
I said the last time I filled in for Matt that it was my segment now, because and he's filling in for me.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, nobody likes to fill in. That's why I called pinch hitter, because we can
have
some.
That's reasonable. I'll take it.
All right.
Well, you know what? It's Jazz Festival season. The Tucson Jazz Festival kicked off last night with the exciting the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble at the Rialto Theater. If you were thinking, you know what, I should go see the Hot Sardines tonight. Well, too late. Sold out. You should have gotten your tickets already.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean you cannot see other exciting opportunities. Arturo Sandoval playing with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra Saturday and Sunday with a matinee if you don't like, getting out. You don't want to stay out too late, 2 p.m. on that one. Trumpeter Matt Holman is at Club Congress on Saturday night. Sunday, Doc Jones Band is playing in Main Gate Square for free from 5 to 7. Sheila E., who you may remember from her time with Prince, is playing the Rialto at 7:30. Tickets are sparse for that one, so you got to watch out. And then Monday, you know, a lot of people have Monday off, us at Visit Tucson included. Downtown Jazz Fiesta, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., free jazz, four stages all over downtown Tucson, outside at the Rio Nuevo stage, Tool and Fifth. Connect co-working stage over behind the Connect space by the Rialto. Playground has live music. Hotel Congress have live music. Stuff happening all over. TucsonJazzFestival.org has all your information about all those shows. And I'll be at Sheila E. If you, you know, if you're there, stop by, say hello. I'll be happy to talk to you.
I think I could take one more, real quick.
Okay. I always like to remind people, second Sunday of the month, Family Day at Tucson Museum of Art. They've got Celebration of Fine Art of Mexico going to be there. A bunch of artists from Mexico demonstrating weaving, wood carving, jewelry, things like that. It is absolutely free for people from Southern Arizona, residents of Arizona and Sonora, all day on Sunday. It's an excellent opportunity to check out all the renovations at the Tucson Museum of Art.
Dan Gibson, thanks so much. And who you got a big coup, didn't you, in the food category? Who's this big foodie came to town, real quickly?
Oh, gosh, yeah, Guy Fieri. The show Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives was filming here all last week. So I'll let you know, but there'll be 6 episodes that feature Tucson restaurants. So it's been it's quite a run. Maria, Chef Maria from Boca, was on Chopped this Tuesday. Chef Ken Harvey from Ventana Canyon will be on this forthcoming Tuesday. Mm. And then all these episodes of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives coming up.
Nice coup for you. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Dan Gibson, A Visit Tucson. Original theme music courtesy of Christopher. And thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, and to the team here at KVOI. And I do want to say that everybody here does such a great job. My producer, engineer on Friday, Tom Fairbanks, sitting in that chair Monday through Thursday is Ray Allen. Ray does a great job. Jerry Cross, our funny man. Production manager, the ladies up front, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, all of us wishing you a very safe and pleasant midwinter weekend. Have a good one.